is in the Coachella Valley area, go online to our website at news.kgnu.org and click on Outsources under the Shows and Features tab. You can also go here for more information about local organizations that conduct similar work right here in the state of Colorado. As always, let us know if you have comments or feedback about tonight's show by emailing outsources@kgnu.org. And be sure to join us next week, Monday at 6:30 p.m., for another episode of Outsources, providing you homegrown queer radio every week. That's Monday, 6:30 p.m., right here on KGNU, or listen anytime after the broadcast at kgnu.org/outsources. Thanks for tuning into Outsources on KGNU, and we'll see you next week.
It's 1 minute after 7 o'clock right here on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. 7 o'clock on a Monday evening means it's time for the Opera Box. Good evening, everyone. Happy April. Welcome to the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel. Tonight, my playlist highlights the most popular Italian tenore di grazia of the 20th century, Tito Schipa, known for his bright and graceful voice, as in this aria from Massenet's Werther. And we're going to hear his interpretations of Mozart, Donizetti, and more if you join me now in the Opera Box. The besotted Werther reads poetry to Charlotte, and even though she's married to another man, he senses she is attracted to him, from Massenet's Werther, based on the novel by Goethe. And we heard the great tenor Tito Schipa in that performance. We're coming up on 4 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist featuring the great Italian tenor Tito Schipa. Schipa was born in Lecce in south of Italy in 1888, and he died in Manhattan in 1965. He was the tenore di grazia, or the light, graceful tenor, of the first half of the 20th century. His clear, agile voice was first recognized by primary school teachers, and the local bishop was inspired by Schipa's church singing enough to offer to pay his tuition to enroll him in the local seminary to study voice and composition formally. And he quickly built a reputation both as talented performer and as seducer. He was then advised to move to Milan to perfect his technique and further his studies. And Milan also provided him with greater exposure and thus opportunities. So in 1909, he made his debut as Alfredo in Verdi's La Traviata in the theater in Vercelli. Listen to him in the Act One duet with Alfredo and Violetta, Un Di Felice, One Happy Day. It's during Violetta's lavish dinner party. Alfredo has seen her from afar, and he has a moment alone with her. And although they've just met, he declares he's in love. Even with old sound, that's such a great performance. Un Di Felice, One Happy Day. Alfredo and Violetta are falling in love. From Act One of Verdi's La Traviata. And in that recording, we heard the great tenor Tito Schipa with soprano Emilita Galli-Curci. We're just 9 minutes after 7 o'clock, and you're in the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a program highlighting the great 20th century tenor Tito Schipa. Schipa's debut as Alfredo was marred by the famously unruly audience, which was typical for Vercelli. But he was hired by Giuseppe Borboni, the manager of a touring troupe, and he worked with them until Borboni's organization closed in 1911, and then for a while found mostly routine roles, until 1911 when he was given a lead role as Cavaradossi in Puccini's Tosca. And here he is in Cavaradossi's famous Act 3 aria, E luce van la stella. Cavaradossi, condemned to the firing squad, thinks about his lover Tosca, and he recalls the first time he saw her, and all the stars were shining. E luce van la stella, and all the stars were shining. From Act 3 of Puccini's Tosca, and we heard the great tenor Tito Schipa. Well, in 1915, Schipa had the opportunity to work with Toscanini on a couple of operatic performances, which led to his debut at La Scala. In 1917, Puccini asked Schipa to debut the role of Ruggiero in his, that is, Puccini's new opera, La Rondine. World War I interfered with Schipa's debut in the United States. That had to wait until 1919, and then he was invited by the managers of the Chicago Civic Opera. He was a major success there as the rapacious Duke in Verdi's Rigoletto. And here he is in the expressive aria, Parmi Vender Lagrime. In Act 1, the Duke met Gilda, not knowing that she's Rigoletto's daughter, and he became infatuated with her, but their meeting was interrupted. So in the opening of Act 2, thinking that she has been abducted, he imagines she is crying for him, and he will exact vengeance for each tear she cries.
Ella mi fu rapita e quando ciel nei brevi istanti prima che il mio presagio interno sull'arma corsa ancora mi spingesse chiuso era l'uscio e la magion deserta e dove ora sarà quell'angel caro vorrei che prima costanti affetti, vorrei sì pur al cui modesto sguardo quasi spinto a dir tu talor mi credo. Ella mi fu rapita e chi l'ardiva, ma ne avrò vendetta. No, fiede il fiato della mia diletta.
Parmi veder le lagrime, the rapacious Duke, thinking Gilda has been abducted, swears he'll get vengeance for every tear in her eyes. From Act Two of Verdi's Rigoletto, and of course we heard the great Tito Skipa. 7:19, you're in the Opera Box here at KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, and I've got a program featuring the incomparable tenor Tito Skipa. Skipa's performance as the Duke was a huge success in Chicago, and he was hailed as the new Caruso. He performed with the Chicago Opera until they were forced to make cuts in 1932, largely due to the prolonged effects of the Depression, whereupon he was hired for several seasons by the New York Metropolitan Opera at a reduced salary. He also toured and performed on radio and film to supplement his finances. By then, he was a huge star, appearing at La Scala, San Francisco, Argentina, and Rome. And another role for which Skipa had early success was as Federico in Francesco Solea's opera La Lesiana, The Girl from Arles. Federico's parents have arranged a match for him, but he's in love with the girl from Arles, and reading some of her love letters, he's heartbroken.
solita storia del pastore. Il povero ragazzo voleva raccontarla.
Federico is in love with a different girl than the one his parents have arranged for him. He reads over her love letters and is heartbroken. Federico's lament from Celea's Larlesiana, the girl from Arles. And we heard the great tenor Tito Skipa. 24 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock, you're in the Opera Box here at KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with my program highlighting the great tenor. Aside from dramatic roles, he was popular in the delicate melodic line of bel canto and even the Baroque opera of Handel. Listen to his rendition of Ombra Mai Fu from Handel's Xerxes. The opera opens with this great aria where King Xerxes of Persia admires the shade of the large plane tree in his garden.
Plotano amato per fato. Buoni lampi e procelle, non voltraggino mai la cara pace, non giunga a profanarvi altro rapace.
King Xerxes, admiring the shade of the plane tree in his garden, from Handel's Xerxes with the great Tito Skipa. And be sure to stick around after the Opera Box for a Classic Monday. I'll continue to be your host with the 23rd program in my series on the symphony, tonight with the American composers Roy Harris and Walter Piston. That's at 8 p.m. right here on KGNU.
Join Ozo Coffee and KGNU for a Thursday night throwdown coffee competition on Thursday, April 5th at Ozo Coffee in Longmont.
What is TNT Thursday Night Coffee Throwdown, you may wonder? It's a barista competition benefiting KGNU Community Radio. Go head-to-head with other baristas for a chance to win first, second, or third place.
A $15 buy-in includes a pound of the KGNU 40th Anniversary Blend and the chance to win prizes from
Baritza, Topo Designs, Prana, concert tickets, and more.
Beer and wine provided by Upslope Brewing Company, Avery Brewing Company, and Wyatt's.
All proceeds benefit KGNU Community Radio. For more info, go to kgnu.org.
Tito Skipa didn't have the big voice and high notes of some other famous tenors, such as Caruso, but he was famous for elegance of line. And this limited his repertoire somewhat, but also allowed him then to perfect more of these roles. He became renowned for his bel canto singing, and we're going to hear three examples of that. We're going to start with Elvino and Amina's duet from Bellini's La Sonnambula, The Sleepwalker. Elvino is so in love with Amina, he's even jealous of the breezes which caress her hair. In Donizetti's comic L'Elixir de l'Amour, the Elixir of Love, Nemorino found a love potion and he gave it to Adina. When he sees a little tear in her eyes, he knows that the love potion is working. And in Donizetti's tragedy, Lucia di Lammermoor, Lucia and Edgardo pledge their vows to marry each other, despite her brother's insistence that she marry his friend, Arturo. Three great bel canto examples of the tenor, Tito Skipa.
Che va bionda che ti scherza col crine, col velo, fin del sol che ti mira dal cielo.
Thank you. sentir. Confondere i miei coi suoi sospiri, gelo si può morir. Di più non credo, non credo.
Nemorino knows Adina loves him when he notices a tear in her eye. From Donizetti's L'Elixir d'Amour, The Elixir of Love. Before that, we heard Elvino declaring his jealousy of the breezes, which caress Amina's hair. From Bellini's La Sonnambula, The Sleepwalker. And I made a mistake. We began with Ecco Ridente, Count Almaviva disguising himself as a student to gain the sympathy of the lovely Rosina, from Rossini's Barber of Seville. We heard Tito Schipa and in those solo arias, and we heard Amelita Galli-Kersee in the Elixir of Love. Well, we're about 14 and a half minutes now before 8 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadel, here at KGNU, and I've got my program highlighting the career and life of the great tenor Tito Schipa. With international stardom came scandal and criticism and adversity. He was a renowned womanizer, and his very public affairs took a great toll on his marriage. He had trouble managing his own wealth, earning and spending money foolishly. He returned to Italy before the war and had a very public affair with an Italian actress. During the war, he was vocally supportive of the fascists, which tainted him for many years to come. By war's end, several European opera houses rejected him, as well as his fellow Italians. And to add to his difficulties, music critics began faulting his technique. For example, in Don Giovanni, they cited his simplistic ornamentation and sloppy runs. And I think you can hear what they meant in two examples I've got here. The Act One aria Della Sua Pace, where Octavio is wary of Don Giovanni and decides he better keep an eye on his fiancée, Donna Anna. And Octavio's Act Two aria Il Mio Tesoro, where he swears to avenge Donna Anna's father's murder. Two examples of from Don Giovanni.
Anch'io è mia quell'ira, quel pianto è mio e non ho venere.
che a lei piace vita mi rende quel pere in cresce morte mi dà morte morte mi dà dalla sua pace mia dipende quel che a lei piace vita mi rende quel che ne cresce morte mi dà morte morte mi dà morte
Voglio tornare.
Octavio swears to Donna Anna that he will avenge her father's murder. And before that, Octavio decides to keep an eye on his fiancée, Donna Anna, wary of the rapacious Don Giovanni. Two examples from Mozart's great opera, Don Giovanni, featuring the tenor Tito Schipa, where critics pointed out his very simplistic ornamentation and, in some cases, lazy runs. Well, despite the ups and downs, Schipa rebuilt his reputation by making films and touring. His light voice and dramatic interpretations became the models for Luciano Pavarotti specifically. His fame earned him invitations to sing and teach behind the Iron Curtain in Russia and Hungary. Ironically, this resulted in accusations that he was a commie lover. In the United States, he was welcomed by opera lovers but denounced by Senator Joe McCarthy. He retired from the stage in 1958 to teach voice in Manhattan. And we're going to hear one of his filmed arias. This is from Martha, the opera by Friedrich von Flotow. It's a sort of a prince and pauper romantic comedy. We're going to hear the aria Ma Pari, Like a Dream. The young farmer Lionel declares his love for Lady Harriet. She earlier had disguised herself as a country maid. It turns out that the farmer Lionel is also a long-lost royalty as well. From the opera Martha by Friedrich von Flotow.
Quell'angelica beltà sculta in cor dall'amor cancellarsi non potrà il pensier di vader palpitar con lei d'amor può soffrir il martir.
Pari tout amour, Like a Dream, from Martha, opera of Friedrich von Flotow. Well, in addition to his singing career and films, Skipa was a composer and a conductor. One of his favorite things was to compose tangos, for example. And he conducted all over the world in between his singing arrangements. He suffered from diabetes, and in 1965, living in Manhattan, Skipa died from complications of that disease. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you for joining me in the Opera Box this evening and our survey of the life and career of Tito Skipa. Stay tuned for a Classic Monday.
It's often termed the jelly sandwich model.
CU's Dr. Peter Molnar just won the prestigious Crawford Prize in Geosciences.
It's like the upper crust is one piece of bread and the uppermost piece of mantle is another piece of bread, and then the weak crust in the middle is jelly.
His dad taught him that if you really understand something, you can explain it simply. Learn more about the world around you on KGNU's science show, How on Earth, which airs every Tuesday right before Alan Watts.
Tune in every Wednesday morning at 8:20 for Make Them Hear You, a regular spot on KGNU, letting you know how you can have your voice heard on issues up before Congress. This is Chris Moore. News from Washington can be overwhelming, but the recent Women's March proved that there are literally millions of people willing to communicate what they believe in. Make Them Hear You will focus on one thing each week and simple ways that people are expressing their concerns to our elected representatives and senators. It's a 3-minute mini feature simply telling you how people are empowering themselves. Make Them Hear You, Wednesday mornings at 8:20, right here on KGNU.
It's 1 minute after 8 o'clock here on a Monday evening. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, with part 23 of my series of programs tracing the development of the symphony from its Baroque origins in the Concerto Grosso of the 1600s to today. Tonight's segment continues our survey of American symphonists with Roy Harris and Walter Piston. We're going to hear the emerging American style from their symphonies, such as Piston's Symphony No. 6. And we're going to hear Roy Harris's 3rd and 6th symphonies and Piston's Symphony No. 2 as well. Join me in our continuing journey through the symphony. Well, last month we listened to the music of Charles Ives and his contemporaries, and while some of them were trained on the European traditions, Ives revolted against it. But together, they represented the optimism of America in the new century. The composers we're going to hear tonight inherited that landscape, stuck between two worlds, the influences of the old world masters and American Revolution and affluence, with the new popular music, roaring 20s, and jazz. Of the two, Walter Piston was older, born in 1894. Harris was born in 1898. And both composers hit their stride, academically and musically, by the 1930s, which coincided with a new awareness. Patrons and orchestras had begun to look for new music by American composers. There was this idea that Americans needed a kind of music they could recognize. Jazz and Broadway were American originals, but weren't considered serious music. Roy Harris said popular music wasn't adequate representation of the American character, and so he searched for a distinctive American tone based